Welcome back to Meet at the Quarterback, a Minnesota Vikings podcast. My name is Harrison.
I'm Andrew.
Hayes will be here shortly. And this is as fresh as they come, as last night was round one of the 2024 NFL draft. It was definitely, just in terms of having two first round picks, the most exciting first round we've had in, I don't know, quite some time, I'd say.
No, definitely. Especially with the both two trades. I mean, doesn't get much better. And no. Trading up both times.
And you didn't really have to, we'll get into it, but I feel you didn't really have to give up much to move up to the spots. So we were slotted at 11. We were slotted at 23. We moved up from 11 to 10, having only needing to give up a fourth, this year's fourth and fifth. And then we also received a sixth. So move up one spot just to kind of secure our potential future franchise quarterback with JJ McCarthy. You're saying straight up franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Coach O'Connell coaching him. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So we drafted our quarterback, JJ McCarthy of Michigan. We'll give more details as to how we feel about that draft pick. And then we also moved up from 23 to 17, which really none of us was really
expecting.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much none of the mocks, a lot of the mocks and a lot of what we've read and thought was we would get rid of 11 and 23 to move up into that top three and secure Drake May. It was really what was being predicted or thought. We all were okay with making that decision as well. But then it sounded like the New England Patriots were not going to budge. Or I'm guessing I would not be surprised if they wanted like three first rounds and some. And I think teams weren't willing to do that. So then the Patriots are like, well, we will stay at three and get our potential franchise guy. Hayes, welcome.
Hello.
We were just quick giving a recap of what the Vikings did on night one. We have no draft capital or draft picks today.
Yeah.
As we traded our this year's second to get 23, which then became 17. And then we traded this year's third as well to get 23. Is that how we got rid of our third?
I think it was next year's.
But why do we not have a third round pick today?
I think there's another trade at some point.
Because the trades that we happened, Andrew, you looked that up. The trades that happened yesterday was we went from 11 to 10, giving up this year's fourth and fifth, and then we got a sixth back. And then we went from 23 to 17, where we gave up next year's third and fourth and this year's fifth. So that one's a spicy one, which I'm sure we'll get into if that's, you know, is that too much to move up six spots? But it's also a pretty impressive player with Dallas Turner, outside linebacker / defensive edge from Alabama. Overall, pretty much the first five picks were exactly what everyone, first four picks, I should say, was kind of exactly what everyone expected. Caleb Williams went number one to Chicago. Jaden Daniels went number two to Washington. Patriots, that was the only question mark, but people were predicting if they stayed at three, it would be Drake May. Mm-hmm. So first three quarterbacks, first time that's happened since 2021, where if you look at that, and I thought this was interesting, it went Trevor Lawrence, might need some help here. Someone, and then Trey Lance, who was in between Lawrence Zach and Wilson. Lance. Say that again?
Zach Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I'd say right now, one of those three guys are starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that I'll be curious what, you know, I bet the Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots are all very excited right now just looking at history, you're looking at about a 33% success rate with those picks. And they showed other years too. And I think we all only would recognize one of three quarterbacks that were taken in the first three picks. So if you had to guess right now, we talked about this last night, but out of Williams, Daniels, and May, which one do you see being an actual first round caliber quarterback? Were you super
surprised by it?
No. Okay.
Yeah. The only other position would have been wide receiver because they lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
And you have Justin Herbert,
Quentin Johnson. Yeah. But obviously they went O-line, which I think that was the best tackle in the draft.
And he's the one.
Totino Grace.
Yeah. Okay. He's the one from Minnesota. Camera footage showed him, you know, getting all excited in Delwood, Minnesota, which we figured was near White Bear Lake.
Ah, that's where it is.
Let's see here. And then number six, Giants decided not to go quarterback. They went wide receiver
from LSU, Malik Nabers.
Okay. So that was wide receiver number two. Titans went tackle from Bama. And then I'd say undoubtedly the biggest surprise of the night, or at least in the first 20 picks, because Atlanta Falcons drafted quarterback Michael Penix Jr. at number eight after just coughing up $45 million to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, 45. It makes no sense. There's no explanation to it. I can't think of a reason why you would do that. I guess, yeah, you want a succession plan, but
they said that.
You know, why do you use that pick on him? You know, if you really want to draft a quarterback, take it in day two or three. Build around. Like, the NFC South is so weak. If I had to pick a team out of all of them, it'd probably be either the Bucs or the Falcons. And with Kirk Cousins, probably the Falcons that could easily win that division. And, you know, they don't improve their team for, you know, right away, year one of Kirk Cousins at all yesterday. They probably heard it. He's probably, you know, I've heard things of he's confused, he's annoyed, he's frustrated because he doesn't understand why they wouldn't improve the team. So, and if I'm a Falcon fan, I'm just like, I don't need that. I'm done with this organization because they've been a clown show since they blew that massive lead. And people joke about that, but it's true. They have done everything wrong since about 8 minutes left in the third quarter of a Super Bowl 8 years ago.
Very well put. It was... Michael Penix even seemed surprised by the decision, which that's always kind of odd. Like, I feel like for the most part, players have somewhat of an idea. Now, I don't want to, like, they have some extent, you know, what teams are interested in them, who's talked to them. It makes it seem that either the Falcons didn't really talk to him or didn't really make it seem like they were going to get him. Like, it was just weird. Very weird. I would be curious if the Falcons didn't go with Penix and he was still on the board, would we have still traded up to 10 to ensure we get one of those two guys, or would we have stayed put and just gotten one of those two guys? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I feel like they would have way rather had McCarthy over Penix. Agreed. I mean, who knows if that's true, but McCarthy has just such a higher ceiling, I feel, at least just in terms of age and already like experience. And I feel like he's more of a, what KOC system would run. Like,
agreed.
He's much more Kirk Cousins than Penix ever would be. Also, who knows if Penix would have even gone top 20 if he got, but who knows? Terrible decision by Atlanta. Makes no sense. They described it as trying to do what Green Bay did with Jordan Love.
Except Jordan Love was, what, 25th?
I think he was a lot younger, too.
25th,
yeah.
Significantly younger.
You can't use a top 10 pick on a backup quarterback.
Yep, agreed. 100% agree with that. So I also found it funny. I don't know if you guys saw on social media, the Falcons GM trying to explain, or like using hand motions to explain to the Falcons president why they decided to get Penix at eight. Like, you obviously can't hear what they're saying, but you can clearly tell that they were not on the same wavelength as to making that pick at eight. I mean, think that's an eighth overall pick. You have, you know, a very good quarterback already that you paid money to. You have a you know, top five running back with Robinson. Probably top five tight end, roughly, you know,
like, and it doesn't make any sense.
Considering, and you're in the worst division in the NFL.
And it's hypothetically, let's say one of those top three guys fell to eight. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. But now you're taking the fourth quarterback. I'm not going to spew all the nonsense about fourth and fifth quarterbacks. Obviously, the Vikings took a fifth quarterback, but historically, it hasn't always panned out great because it isn't first round caliber players like we've seen. So that's totally different with JJ McCarthy at 11. It's usually like a third round pick or something, but it's different. If that was Drake May, they were taking at eight. When it's Michael Penix at eight, it's the fourth quarterback. It just, there's no explanation that would make me be like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he was a guy who at one point in time was going to be a second round pick, a day two pick, and then you take him in the top 10 when you already have a quarterback.
You already have a quarterback for the front loaded for 2 years. So at best, you can start Michael Penix in 2 years and he'll be 26.
Then you still have Kirk Cousins.
You still have Kirk Cousins for 2 years with a large contract, you know, with probably another
guaranteed money.
Yeah.
It could be potential if, you know, Kirk Cousins gets back to the way he was in the previous 12 years, where just, you know, a healthy, non-injury quarterback, he could play another 4 years. And now you're looking at your eighth overall pick quarterback starting for the first time in the NFL at the age of 28.
28, and he'll be some of these, last year under contract. Some of these
guys at 28 could have already been in the NFL for 7 years. Dumb.
One of the worst picks I've ever seen.
Yeah, very shocking. Ninth overall, then went back to the Bears, who then got the third wide receiver off the board from Washington, Romeo Adunzi. I don't know too much about him, but, you know, from a Bears fan standpoint, I definitely would be excited with how day one went. You get your franchise QB, you get a top 10 wide receiver, the third best wide receiver on the board.
I think people always make the argument if he had the name Marvin Harrison Jr., he would have been taken before Marvin Harrison Jr. I think people say he's might be better, but because his dad wasn't a Hall of Fame wide receiver, he wasn't taken. But I've seen a lot of people say that, you know, he might have been the first wide receiver.
Do you think Malik Nabers just went higher than him because he's coming from LSU, which is a university that just breeds talented wide receivers? Yes,
I think so. You know, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, just in the last 3 years.
Yeah, OBJ was a LSU. OBJ, alum,
yeah. I believe. Yeah, yes.
Many others. And then gets to us where, you know, we were 11, moved up one spot to 10. I think, Andrew, you said it very nicely yesterday. You made that you had to move up because you were fearful that either Denver or Las Vegas would be making that trade with New York. And it could be possible that New York, obviously they didn't, but they very well could have also gotten their future quarterback because they only have one more year with Rodgers, who's coming off the Achilles. You know, if I was the Jets GM, I would consider getting a quarterback at 10, but they chose not to. They collected some picks from us. We moved up a single spot and got Michigan quarterback JJ McCarthy, which I think, you know, we weren't super excited about it going into the draft or, you know, months ago when we really started talking about mocks and what should the Vikings do. But I think now looking at it, I'm excited by it. I mean, I don't know how you can't be excited about a top 10 pick quarterback. And it's just something different, you know, this guy. So that transitions. Let's talk the cons that we have with this pick. And then we can kind of go into the pros of this pick. So what are either concerns, fears, issues we have with taking McCarthy at 10?
I guess con would be, I think 100% whoever the quarterback was that was getting taken was Kevin O'Connell's pick. Like, Kwesi was more just making sure that he gets the guy he wants. But my biggest fear would be that O'Connell really wanted Drake May, and that didn't happen. And he had to almost, not settle, but it's just less, there'll be more work. So I think Akon would be in a great system in Michigan. So really, how much did he have to do to win? Even though he has like all the wins under him and through high school and whatnot.
Yeah. National champ.
National champ. But I don't know. I like to pick a lot more now, and that's probably just bias and overall just like hype. But I said I would be fine with McCarthy at 11, and I don't really care that it's one spot more and you give up. Like, you think about those picks. If he turns out to be a decent quarterback for us, worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have higher expectations, but the picks just don't matter at all. So for to make sure Denver didn't draft him, which I think they absolutely were trying to do, because they took Bo Nix, who's just absolute, I don't know about Bo Nix.
JJ McCarthy is so much, his ceiling is so much higher than Bo Nix's, where, yeah, like you said, if you have to give up a fourth and a fifth to make sure that you don't have to reach for a guy like Bo Nix, then I like the pick a lot. I said I wanted JJ McCarthy over even a guy like Drake May. In terms of, you know, we have a team with Justin Jefferson. We have an offense, at least. I don't think the defense is there yet, but we have an offense that can be really competitive. And like I've said, JJ McCarthy, I think, could go in and start by, you know, week one if he can really just get going and go quick. And I just don't think Drake May is there yet to start. You need him to sit behind a guy. I don't really want him sitting behind a guy like Sam Darnold. I think it's better for Drake May's development that he's sitting behind Jacoby Brissett, who I think is a lot more intelligent. He has a football IQ. I don't know why the Vikings even brought that. I'm just going off of, no, I don't like Sam Darnold, but no, I think that's it was smart to ensure that you were getting JJ McCarthy and didn't have to reach for a six. That was a horrible pick by Denver. Six QBs, top 12. You get Bo Nix. He's aging. He's, you want to say aging, but what is he, 25?
He's yeah, up don't, there, yeah.
Yeah, four? I don't know too much about Bo Nix either.
24, 25.
Kind of like Dad said yesterday, Bo, the name Bo and being a quarterback has kind of hurt yourself just because of that movie Draft Day with Bo Callahan. So that's the only thing I can think of when I hear Bo Nix. Yeah, very good points. Yeah, I don't really have much to add in terms of cons. Yeah, you really gave up a fourth and a fifth for potentially a guy that you know believe in. I bet that JJ McCarthy was your second guy, second QB from the get-go. Like, I feel like we all kind of thought Drake May was number one, but it seemed like, you know, a lot of speculation was McCarthy at 11. I agree with you. It's nice to not have had to give up much to secure a quarterback. Yeah, I don't really have any other cons other than, I guess, the biggest fear is this guy was at one point, early second, mid second round pick that became a top 10 pick because of a good combine and pro day. And that's, you know, slightly concerning, but transitioning into pros, he is a winner, something that, you know, Kirk Cousins never was. I remember Purple Daily always talking about Kirk Cousins never played in his high school state game, never played in any type of like championship caliber game. And we're bringing on a quarterback that has a career 27-1 college record and a national champion. Was Michigan in the championship game back-to-back years?
Yeah.
So he's played in two championship games.
Started 2 years.
Yeah. I think one of you said he just turned 21. Yep. So he's incredibly
he's younger than January. Andrew. Yeah, he's so he's significantly younger than Andrew.
Significantly younger. Because Andrew just turned 20, what, two?
Yeah, I'm pushing about 30.
10
yeah.
months younger than Andrew.
I'm pushing and 30.
It's pretty impressive what he's been able to accomplish.
And he's significantly taller and bigger than Andrew.
Yes, stronger and more attractive.
Okay, that's... pump the brakes. But I think right there, those are two very exciting things. The fact that he is already has had more winning experience than our most previous quarterback that we've had for the last 6 years.
And I think historically, you look at the Michigan football system historically, and it's that old school Big Ten football, which is we're going to run it down your throat and we're going to play really good defense. I think if he was at a different school, he was at an SEC school, he'd put up those Jaden Daniel, Drake May type numbers. But because he wasn't throwing it 45 times a game, people are going to be like, oh, well, he hands it off. That's what he does. Well, that's exactly what Big Ten football, I feel like, is.
Yeah.
You know, the Gophers play that way. Penn State plays that way. Ohio State plays that way. It's we're going to run it like 50 times a game. We're going to play really good defense. But even JJ McCarthy, when they needed him to go throw to win the game, I think he was able to do that throughout his college career. So I wonder who his only loss was. Was it that national championship game in 2023?
Yeah, and I guess
I said he was 27-1 or 27-2.
That's what I thought. But I guess that's what I said, and that's what I saw at one point. But now I'm just pulling up his career game logs, and it looks like he has 3 total losses.
They might not count, maybe, like the Big Ten championship.
I think maybe they're also counting just the last 2 years, because the last 2 years he's only lost one game, which is that national championship game.
So he wasn't in the national championship game in 2023. He lost in the semifinals.
Really? Michigan, I could have sworn they were in the national championship.
But Michigan lost TCU that year.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so he's 22-1 as a starter.
Okay.
He lost 51-45 in the semifinal game.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his numbers. I mean, yeah, he was on a run-heavy offense, but there were games where he was 24-37 for 335 yards, or 26-30, 86% completion percentage, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns. So he has the ability to throw the ball for completion, 4 yards. He's definitely coming into a completely different type of offense, because we are not a run first offense. He'll, you know, when he does play, I bet he'll throw 30-40 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he seems smart. He seems like a good system quarterback. You know, this is exciting, because this will truly be O'Connell's first real test, but I think we can all agree that he made Kirk's game already stronger and better. Mm-hmm. So the hope and the belief is that he could do the same thing with JJ McCarthy. So when you look at it like that, it's exciting. And, you know, I think we all are somewhat on the same page that we're going to trust Kwesi and KOC, in the sense of this is a guy that they, you know, like and believe in. And, you know, if 3 years from now it's a bust, and it sucks and it's annoying and we have to start this whole thing over again. But if anything, I don't know what a rookie contract looks like or is in terms of like dollars, but you're saving, you know, $40 million by going the route of saying bye-bye Kirk Cousins, who now
karma. Yeah.
Karma's a ditch, Kirk.
I feel like the Vikings are literally set up better than they have been in years for like potential. I mean, obviously 2017 we were super good, 2023 we were good but kind of frauds, or not 2022. But like, you look at our cap space, obviously getting rid of Kirk, not re-signing Daniil.
Yep.
Obviously you'll have to extend Jefferson, which you need to do, like Hayes mentioned. Darisaw, you'll need to extend him, but now you have JJ McCarthy for 5 years on a rookie contract. You have a defense that is good and only getting better. I mean, you obviously added, we'll talk about Dallas Turner. But you have every offensive piece that you need. The interior O-line's not great. Your running backs aren't great. But, like, you have the cap space. You have now what should be the quarterback, even if he needs a year or two, which I'm sure he will, as most quarterbacks need. But if, like, obviously in a couple years it doesn't work out, like you said, Harrison, but I don't know. I'm excited about it. I think everyone else should be.
I was going to say the same thing. If anything, it's exciting.
It's new.
It's the first time that we've had two first round picks in the top 20 overall since 2005, when we had a, I think I wrote this down. I just wrote down two firsts in the top 20. But you know, we had two first round picks in 2020 with Jefferson and Gladney, but those were two late first round picks. And then 2014, the last time we drafted a first round quarterback, you had, oh my gosh, Anthony Barr at 9 and then Bridgewater at 32. But now you have two first round picks in the top 20, which is very exciting. Again, first time in almost 20 years that we've had two top 20 picks. Which, yeah, that can kind of push into our next first round pick with outside linebacker / defensive edge, Dallas Turner of Alabama, trading with Jacksonville from 23 to 17. Little spicy because, again, you gave up this year's fifth, next year's third, and fourth. And then, obviously, this year's 23rd, but you still get a first-round pick. So, really, you're looking at what you gave away was this year's fifth, next year's three, and four. But from what I've read, the upswing of what Dallas Turner could be is so much higher than potentially what you would get in the third and fourth round of next year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very excited by this move, very surprised by this move, because again, we all thought you're either staying put at 11 and 23, or you're getting rid of both of those to go into the top three. I wasn't expecting to go from 11 to 10 and then trade higher up from 23. So, yeah, the second defensive guy off the board, first defensive edge. I would argue it's the second most important position in the NFL, just in the sense
wow.
of, well, just think, like, obviously you want a quarterback and, you know, you need weapons and everything. But if you had to, you know, I think quarterback and defensive edge are two of the more important positions in the NFL. And we got both of those in the top 20 of this first round. So, kind of same thing. What are some concerns or cons that we have with this pick, with either moving up or just drafting him as a whole? Do we have any?
I can't really think of much. I think the only one would be that you just gave up a lot to move up six spots, but it's like, from everything, I mean, I have no idea anything about Dallas Turner. What I read more recently was just like top two defensive players in the draft should have been in a top 10 pick. I mean, Atlanta probably should have took him.
Yep.
But I think there's a lot more pros. He's also only 21.
I think just turned 21, you had mentioned.
Yeah. So played in SEC. Coming off back-to-back super good years. And I think this is definitely like, you know, McCarthy was O'Connell's pick. I feel like this is just Flores's pick.
Yeah.
Because I think Dad just sent the video in a group chat, but like O'Connell's reaction was like surprised. Like they didn't even consult with him. Which,
that's,
I mean, like,
a great thing.
No, I mean, but it's also like, I'm sure that they all work well together. But I'm excited about this pick. I think you got younger and cheaper on the defensive line. And I would say overall, you got better. Because now you have two edge rushers that can go at the quarterback instead of just Daniil, who shows up once every couple games.
You have two edge rushers for a fraction of the cost of Daniil Hunter.
And significantly younger. Yeah.
And significantly younger. Yep. No, it's Kwesi has most certainly, at least from a on paper standpoint, cooked this offseason. Cheaper, younger. I'd say less expensive, because it's not like you're getting cheap talent. You're getting younger, less expensive talent for not really having to give that much up. Hayes, do you have any initial concerns or issues with either the trading up six spots or drafting Dallas Turner?
No, not at all.
Good.
I saw it was a 3% chance that he would be there at 17. So I can't imagine what it would have been like if they just stayed at 23. It most likely would not have happened. You look at like historically defensive player of the year winners, it's almost always an edge or a tackle. So it's always those guys on the line that are going to make the biggest impact defensively for the team. So I like that pick so much more than the Zimmer eras of always drafting a corner. Because corners, I just don't think they make that big. You know, you need good corners, but I just don't think they make as big an impact as these defensive guys. Because, you know, if you have these really good defensive linemen, you don't need the best corners because they're going to get to the quarterback quicker. Yeah. So I like the pick a lot.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying. I did look up because I'm like, how does a guy who is projected top 10 fall to, you know, be available at 17? And the only thing I could find, it was very little, was that he had like an undisclosed injury at the end of the 22 season going into the 23 off season, but nothing more than that. And I guess he sat out for a playoff game for a good chunk of time, but like, I'll take that. It's not like he has some weird, big time injury that sidelined him for a long time. I mean, he pretty much started as a freshman. He played 11 games his freshman year, and didn't miss more than maybe a game here or there, throughout his college career. Double digit sacks, double digit tackles for losses his most recent year. And as you said, he was he SEC defensive player of the year or just all of college football defensive player of the year?
I'm not sure.
SEC, okay.
Yeah.
No,
I think they go by,
it's very, very exciting. Saving money, getting young talent. Another guy who you now have for 5 years, essentially, where you don't have to pay top dollar for.
It kind of feels like what Houston did last year. Obviously, it's not the second and third overall picks, but you get your what should be franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And you get a Alabama defensive edge. But like Dallas Turner could have gone, like you guys said, top 10 easily. Top should have been first defense player off the board. I think a lot of people had him as their number one edge rusher.
Yeah. But no, I didn't copy
Houston. Everyone should be trying to copy Houston.
You can't argue with what Houston did last year. And like they did that with a rookie head coach coming off of a terrible, terrible season, where he could potentially do that with a third year head coach coming off a competitive rebuild. And we have way more weapons than Houston from an offensive standpoint. So
yeah, it's exciting.
It is very exciting. Very exciting. Quick predictions. What numbers do we think our future first round picks will be representing? So JJ McCarthy wore 9 at Michigan. It's currently being owned by, I don't know, special teams guy, Tristan Jackson. I don't know if Tristan Jackson would give it up for a rookie. So let's say he will not wear 9. What number do we see JJ McCarthy sporting in the purple and gold?
I hope Tristan Jackson's not a clown and he gives it up for, you know, this is a future franchise quarterback. Or the Vikings just say, hey, Tristan, you're trash. You do nothing.
See you later.
Just so we can have him get his jersey.
And then we'll quick sign him like in August.
Then we'll sign him as a practice squad guy because no one else will pick his bum ass up. So,
yeah. All right, let's say hypothetically not number 9. What are we predicting?
Number 2.
That's mine. That was my prediction. He wore that in high school.
That's why I just literally looked.
I was going to look that up before I went on the Tristan Jackson rampage.
Okay. And I think he started at Michigan at number 2.
Okay.
So it's either 2 or 9, but Tristan Jackson.
Give it to our meditating king, JJ McCarthy.
He's making practice squad money. So JJ McCarthy could give him like $5. He'd be like, okay.
Why is Tristan Jackson so old for only having 2 career receptions?
Is he really?
I assume 26.
Oh, I assume
he's not so old.
He's like a Penix or Bo Nix. Probably played all of college. I mean, I think he's a 6th or 7th round guy, if even that. And then what do we think Dallas Turner will wear? He wore 15 in college. That number is available. Do you think he'll just stay with 15 or go a different route?
Probably go with like some 50 number. Okay. I could see.
I'm saying he stays 15.
Yeah.
That's my sure. prediction. Yeah, sure, Hayes. Yeah, you're no fun. Sometimes you just have to. Hayes,
you're actually a jerk. You're actually a
you say 50 something? I want you That's to name me a defensive end whose number is 50. Between 50
Jonathan
and
50. Jenard.
I was about to say our new guy. He was 52 with Houston.
See, but there's quite a bit.
That's a linebacker like number. That. That's a linebacker number. That's not a defensive end number.
Well, Dallas Turner is technically a outside linebacker slash defensive edge. So could wear 50. I'm sticking with 15, his college number.
Did you see Ivan Pace change to number 0?
Love it. Congrats, my guy.
That's gross.
You say gross?
Yeah.
He wore that in college. He deserves it way more than stupid Marcus Davenport Jr.
Was he a junior?
Actually, I don't think it. As I said, I thought this was probably wrong. All right, real quick here, since Andrew has to go to work.
Oh, that's a long day.
He has a long day, 10 to 10.
Yeah, Hayes, and I make a lot more money than you.
I'm the boss, so.
What? How do we grade this first round draft? This first round, this day one. How do what grade do we give our Minnesota Vikings for these two picks?
I would say A-.
A-. That's what I had. I mean, you can't go wrong with one having two first round picks, and filling two very important positions. So the only you just have to trust the process. Trust Kwesi, trust KOC. I don't think you reached for anything. It's nice that, you know, potentially JJ McCarthy could be a better quarterback than Drake May, and you didn't give up really anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of the draft is, like, we were talking beforehand. We're like, all right, let's give up 11, 23, and potentially next year's first to get Drake May. Didn't have to do that at all. Didn't get Drake May, but got, again, I'd say probably a lot of people's second choice and an edge rusher, a very good one at that. So, yeah, A-minus is, I think, a very good grade, good fair grade. I think you could say maybe B+, just because, again, some people weren't super excited about McCarthy, but I think the Dallas Turner bumps it up significantly as well.
Yeah, I mean, you also didn't have to give up really anything for McCarthy, which is huge.
All right, and today we have no second or third round picks, so literally nothing, unless we do. I don't even know how you would trade into the second or third round, because you don't have any second or third round picks next year. So that would be the only, you know, potential concern is, let's say next year we are, you know, bad, terrible, everything goes wrong, we're 4-13, you don't have much ability to get that draft next year. But
yeah,
nice thing is you have cap space and it's a young team,
and you still have your first next year,
and you still have your first, and you can always, you know, even if we are terrible, then at least we're a top five pick, and you could use that as leverage where you trade back and you have two in the first again. But yeah, overall, very pleased with it. It's exciting stuff as a Vikings fan. It's definitely the most exciting draft we've had in a long time, from a who we got to having two picks. It's been a way more exciting and thrilling offseason than it was last year, where I'm trying to remember. I think our biggest signing was Marcus Davenport, who was a bust, and Byron Murphy Jr., who was meh.
No, he was good. Byron Murphy Jr. is good. And when he was out, the defense tanked. So.
And now there's another Byron Murphy Jr.
Tired of that narrative. No, he's Byron Murphy the second.
Byron Murphy the second, yeah.
Oh, he's Byron Murphy too?
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts, comments? We'll have to do another, once we end here. We'll have to quick find a time to do the full draft recap episode. But final thoughts?
No.
All right. This is Meet at the Quarterback, Minnesota Vikings podcast. My name is Harrison.
I'm Hayes.
I'm Andrew.
Skol Vikes, baby.